Good evening. I'm Jim Lyons. About a month ago, Eyewitness News reported on a new student group on the UI campus. It's called CARP, and it's one of the many organizations founded by the Reverend Sun Yun Moon. In researching those stories, we found an astonishing lack of knowledge about Reverend Moon, CARP, and in fact, about cults in general. This story is meant to educate and not to alarm you, to give you facts and not make judgments. Let's start by meeting four people who did decide to join some of these new religions. There are four who, for different reasons, have left them.
The first is a famous case. Her disappearance in 1975 was a big story in Iowa City. Right off the campus, Nikki Barker had vanished, along with another student, Bruce Serber. Nobody knew if they were dead or alive. Nikki Barker was found 3 months later near San Francisco in a religious cult called Brother Evangelist. They're nomads, and she found them as they wandered the streets of Iowa City one night. We'll talk about mind control later, but this is how long it took the group to indoctrinate Nikki and convince her to join them.
Just a few minutes.
That's all? One conversation?
Just one conversation, but I was ready to join.
3 months later, Nikki was kidnapped and deprogrammed to controversial processes we'll talk about later. Next, Kathy Snell, a junior at the U of I Business School 2 years ago. She joined CARP, a campus group founded by the Reverend Sun Yun Moon. CARP was on campus then, just testing the waters.
It seemed real legitimate. You know, they seemed like real nice people that were doing the same types of things I was doing. And at this point, Moon wasn't mentioned.
Reverend Moon's main organization is the Unification Church. After 4 years as a high official of the church, Bob Brandeberry quit. On this tape, made for National Public Radio, he shares his experiences.
And so I never saw my mother again because it was in January this year that my mother died. And it was that type of a shock that brought me to my senses. It was that type of a shock that brought me to the realization that I had been had, that I had been used, and I was a victim of a cult.
Finally, meet David Clark, who spent 3 years in the Church of the Living Word, the Walk for short. This is their worldwide headquarters, right here in Washington County, a farm called Shiloh.
Little did we know how we were being used and abused, eventually exploited.
How could four bright, intelligent young people all fall into something that they would live to regret? We found two reasons why. First of all, they were naive.
Well, I didn't really know about them. I had just heard about them. I didn't know what they stood for. So then when they did bring it up, I didn't have those things to say, oh, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I was sucked in. Most of the people that are taken in are, you know, middle to upper class people. Some are wealthy. They're not the street people who know the cons, who know a con artist when they see one.
They exploit ignorance. They use it to their advantage.
Here's the second reason.
When I was ready, I was searching. I wanted to get out of the rut I was in. I didn't know what I was going to do. And what they said and the way they looked was very appealing to me. And they had all the answers.
Searching for answers for yourself, religiously and spiritually. When it comes to religion, this guy is an Iowa City institution. For 16 years, his big frame and his big smile have pounded the streets near campus. This is Reverend Ron Osborne, and the campus is his ministry.
The success of the cults may be in some measure, I don't want to overstate this, but maybe in some measure, testimony to the failure of the churches and synagogues to provide very adequate religious education.
I didn't know anything about the Bible. They used the King James Version, which is the old English, and it can be easily twisted.
Somebody could quote to them a bunch of things, and they wouldn't be able to distinguish those from which are from the Bible and those which are from some other kinds of literature. They simply don't know, for the most part. It is frightening.
It's time to take a look at who these new religions are in Eastern Iowa and what they stand for. We'll cover only the major ones, those whom you may one day run across or perhaps even join. First, though, a word about Transcendental Meditation, whose headquarters are here in Fairfield, Iowa. Some experts disagree on whether to classify TM as a cult or not. We're using the definition of psychiatrist Margaret Singer, and under it, TM isn't. Under her definition, then, our first true cult is The Way International. They believe they'll inherit the earth after Armageddon, and so you might call them survivalists, preparing for that day. It's been said that their recruiting method is through a self-help course called Power for an Abundant Living. They're based in Kansas. We found them underground in Iowa City.
Another religious group of so-called survivalists is based right here at Shiloh. It's a worldwide group, the Church of the Living Word, for short, the Walk. They're low-keyed and keep to themselves, preparing for the day they believe they'll inherit the earth. They told us they're misunderstood and maligned by the press. Like the Way, the Walk declined to take part in this story. Finally, we come to CARP, the Collegiate Association for the Research of Principles, a student group who appeared on the UI campus this fall. They basically hand out literature, sponsor discussions of the international scene, and explain the teachings of Reverend Sun Myung Moon, their founder. The statewide director of CARP is Gil Alexander, an Australian who gave up his practice of engineering to serve Reverend Moon.
And CARP's main purpose is to instill a sense of responsibility within students, within the youth of the country, particularly America.
That sounded fine to Kathy when she joined, but now she feels deceived.
Making them think that they're real active in U.S. foreign affairs and activities within the government, that is just a front. They may dwell on that for maybe, you know, 2 or 3 days, and then that is totally dropped, and they're into the more religious aspects of the Unification Church.
At one time in his career with CARP, Gil will probably marry a mate picked for him by father, as they call Reverend Moon. That's a day that Gil looks forward to.
Frankly, I don't feel that I have the qualifications to understand what is the best woman for me. Externally, I may like or dislike a certain woman, but whether I have faith in my own feelings towards that is another thing. Frankly, I don't think I do. What I'm relying on is the attitude of God. I believe that God is working through Reverend Moon.
Not only does Moon pick the partners, he performs the ceremony too, and he does so wholesale. Here in 1976, he did 1,800 couples at once. Some years before that, over 700. Ex-Moonie Rob Brandyberry explains who gets a mate in the Unification Church.
You have to bring 3 recruits in, and you have to pay, if you're a female, $350, if you're male, $300 to Moon, and then you are called to come in for a matching ceremony.
This film, by the way, was produced by a film company that Reverend Moon controls. One of 109 clubs, groups, organizations, and businesses tied to Sun Myung Moon. A U.S. House investigation in 1978 said they're financially as well as spiritually intertwined. This list of them is provided by Ex-Moon, a group of, you guessed it, ex-Moonies. There's CARP and a high school version of it, a handful of committees, a Washington track club, various camps, training centers, and large mansions scattered across the nation, some karate schools, newspapers, fishing fleets, a fast food chain named Deli Sun, a drug company, a rock group, florists, a Unification everything, it seems, and at the end of the list, the most interesting of all, a Korean manufacturing firm called Tong Il. They make parts for grenade launchers, anti-aircraft guns, and, under license from Colt Industries, the M16 rifle. We thought it a rather strange dichotomy for a man who preaches peace to produce for war. So we came to Chicago, to this quiet house on the south side. It's the regional headquarters for CARP. Henry Schaffler is the leader here. He wears several hats among different Moon groups.
I don't know if they manufacture M16s. Do you have evidence to support that? I don't know about that myself.
Sure.
That would be something new for me.
We showed him the published evidence.
Many people see that if they're a religious order of monks, they shouldn't be making whiskey. But nobody's given them a lot of grief about it, because they've been doing it for 100 years.
Besides being naive and searching for themselves spiritually, there's a third reason why 4 bright young people got involved with new religions. They all had blinders on. What was once called brainwashing is now called mind control. Professor Bob Barron of the UI Psychology Department is an expert on the subject. He studied it for 15 years and identified 8 techniques that together create mind control. He's seen all 8 used by the North Koreans on American prisoners and by Jim Jones on members of the ill-fated People's Temple. Using a television movie on the temple, he pointed all 8 of them out to me. Our four ex-cult members were apparently exposed to these same techniques. For example, the first one, social isolation. Get the subject away from friends, family, and old values.
We become dependent, confused, and not nearly sure of ourselves. And that's exactly what cults, indoctrination groups want. That's exactly the way they want us to feel.
Everything that I had and everything I did was gone. I was
separated
from the life I had known. I was not allowed to see my family.
Taking you out of your element, away from those who know you, makes you especially vulnerable for the second powerful technique, peer group pressure.
But everybody was alike. Everybody did the same things, dressed the same way, talked the same way. We had our own jargon.
The third technique is designed to wear you down. Exhaustion, too much work, not enough sleep, and not enough protein in the diet.
Also, there's a lot of things that you do that will cause the mind control to be more effective, like fasting. You do a lot of fast. I did 10 7-day fast on water.
You know, work all day and go to these hours where these services where these things would last hours on end at times. And you get someone who's really worn down by lack of sleep, inadequate diet, overwork, even if they haven't been physically beaten up. And they're not going to catch the mistakes. They're not going to catch the lack of logic nearly as much.
All of our food came from behind grocery stores, from garbage cans. Or McDonald's hamburgers that are in the back next to the trash can. Anything that the Lord provided.
Fourth, the cult leader creates feelings of helplessness.
I didn't have to do any thinking. They did it for me. I had a fear of leaving. I couldn't leave.
Fifth, create guilt and use it.
The communists use guilt manipulations. Various forms of cults frequently have people testify about how they're sinful, how they used to be sinful, how they're never perfect enough.
I was not allowed to laugh. If I did laugh, it was called the spirit of foolishness.
Six, take it a step at a time, nothing major.
Then I was invited over for dinner, and I was so tired of, you know, the pressure of him asking me to come over for dinner, so I thought, well, what can I lose, you know, just this one night?
If you expect people to make a tremendously costly step eventually, you're much better off by leading up to it, because the more steps they take, the more effort, the more cost that they've expended for the group, the more committed they are to the group.
Seventh, create a lofty goal. Save the souls or dispense the answers.
Not necessarily just for the teachings, but to stimulate the students to realize what are the social issues now active in America, and to get them to ask themselves the question of what sort of country they want, what sort of world they want to see, and what sort of person they want to be.
They tell me, someday you'll understand, sister, someday you'll understand. Pretty soon I found I was saying that to people, to new converts. They'd have questions and I'd say, someday you'll understand. And I still didn't understand. It's true though.
Finally, create paranoia. Fear of outsiders.
And so when the economy collapsed, the dollar is not going to be worth anything. So we had to stockpile silver and gold and weapons to basically protect ourselves from the outside. Like when it comes to the forces of evil, we get it the worst first before the rank and file of the world get it.
You're in the grips of mind control?
I feel when you consider all the basic elements and how interrelated they all are, I would constitute that as mind control, yes.
We all were brainwashed. I really think it is mind control. I know it is mind control. It's not just another student organization.
Our interviews with these four ex-cult members then indicate that the Unification Church, the Walk, and Brother Evangelist are all three using the same techniques of mind control. Same techniques which Jim Jones used in Guyana and the Koreans used during the war. We took that thought to Moon official Henry Schaffer in Chicago.
That's a bunch of garbage. That's ridiculous. Those accusations are so narrow-minded.
I think that Moon has it pretty much down to a science.
The person that's being programmed does not have a rational view of this movement. They do not have an objective view of this movement, because I'm telling you, they've been brainwashed. So their comments are suspect, because their comments are very biased.
Eyewitness News acquired a copy of this internal Unification Church document, minutes of a state director's meeting held almost 2 years ago. Under the heading of Father's Plan, America's top moon officials were told, quote,
"We must have 150 PhDs, three in each state. These PhDs must work together in a single university to gain control of the university. They must become teachers, heads of departments, and ultimately the presidents of these universities."
Why would anybody want to take over a university?
That answer was long and confusing, but here are the high points.
I've read that. I know what that is. It's just a speech. One of his speeches, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes these Koreans don't translate very well. Sure, we want to get people to become senators and congressmen. Why not?
And take over universities?
So that's I got to tell you one problem. If it says gain control of the university, what it means is to be able to give influence to the university. And this is what we want to do. I'm not afraid to tell you that. Tell me to rip off his notes or what? I'm surprised they got Michael Lissman's notes. The point is Reverend Moon does not have any intention of taking over and controlling universities.